Ghosts, cryptids, murder, conspiracies, beer, what, the ale.
Hello, friends.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back to What the Ale. I'm Alana Ray.
And I'm Mama Jane.
And before we get into your topic this week, Mama, why don't you tell us any What the Ale moments and if you're drinking anything?
I'm drinking a beer from Modern Times Brewery in San Diego, and it is a Monster Park Stout.
Nice.
So, yeah, so I was like, it's still October, still feeling spooky, so I'm going to have a Monster titled beer.
Nice. Well, I also am sticking with the spooky vibes
Okay.
because I am having an Elysian pumpkin ale. So,
Oh, nice.
yeah. Anyway.
We recently had a few pumpkin beers at a friend's house that I had a pumpkin stout and you had a pumpkin something else. And they were both pretty good, even though I'm not really a pumpkin person. So.
Yeah. No, my housemate had some leftover from her like Halloween festivities. So,
Yeah.
I decided to have one since they're in the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my What the Ale is probably just like the weather is cooling off finally, and I'm super thrilled about it. So today I dressed for like fall weather. And now I'm sitting by a window that, you know, the sun is like on that side of the house, and like you could just feel like the warmth coming through. And I was like, it still feels like summer sitting by this window right now. And
No,
I
I
really
feel
want
it.
it to feel like fall. And I'm dressed, you know, I need to take off my sweater because, yeah, it should not be that hot in the house when, you know, it's supposed to be fall weather.
No, I feel it. It was 80 today, or
Oh
like
my God.
close to 80. Right now it's
Wow.
just 75. I think maybe when the sun was higher, it was probably very close to 80.
Yeah.
And it was weird because I also like, I mean, I had to go to the hospital and I was just very professional and had like a cardigan. And then like
Yeah.
I came out for lunch and was like just dripping. This is not
Yeah.
so I get it. I get it.
Yeah. And what about you, any what the old things?
Yeah. I think a good what the ale is, you know, classic me just like loving all of the love and support I have in that my boss bought me lunch today.
Oh, that's really nice.
Like I went over to her office. I hadn't seen her in a couple of weeks just because I'd been, you know, out of town and all the things. And so I went to go check in and get some signatures from her and things. And she was like, you know what? Like, are you and your assistant here? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, go, you know, go to lunch, like just Venmo me for whatever you get. So we got Chinese, yummy Chinese food.
Oh, very good.
So yeah, I don't know, just like loving working in a really supportive environment, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think I've had Chinese food since I was in China.
Oh, wow.
I think I've had like Panda Express, but I don't think I've gone to a Chinese restaurant since I've been back.
Yeah, they just opened right next to campus. There's this place in Chinatown I've been to before, but they just opened a second location like around the corner from the hospital. So,
Nice.
yeah, we're very, my assistant is Asian and like grew up in like Chinatown, San Francisco. So she was
Oh,
like,
nice.
I kind of want Chinese food. And I was like, I'm down.
Well,
So.
she's probably used to all the good Chinese food if she lived near Chinatown. Yeah, but I don't know why. I feel like I've eaten a lot of Thai food lately and a lot of Indian food lately, but I don't think I've had Chinese food in a while.
I feel like I don't crave Chinese that much. And then sometimes I'll like walk by a Chinese restaurant and smell it and be like, I want that.
Yeah, I think I tend to go towards Thai and Japanese food more often. But yeah, but that sounds delicious.
Yeah. So that was my what the ale is, just having a supportive work environment with a cool boss.
Yeah, that's awesome. Very
Honestly, get
cool.
you an Italian mom for a boss because they feed you.
Yeah.
Anybody out there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess
All right.
we get into your topic.
Yeah, I was gonna say I wanted to do something kind of lighthearted, and you know, this is a place that I've been to, and then there was a movie made where some scenes were shot here and like that are significant to the movie, and that's how this place gained a lot of fame. So I'm gonna cover a little bit, I mean, just like tidbits, not the whole story, but like a little bit about the murder that inspired the movie, and also a couple of the ghosts that are here, because it is a place that has a couple of ghosts, not a ton, but I think they're, it's kind of nice. So I am talking about the Bonaventure Cemetery in Savannah,
Savannah.
Georgia.
Sorry. Yes, Savannah. We've been there.
We have been there.
It's a beautiful
And
cemetery.
yeah, the cemetery is like, I don't know if everybody's a fan of a cemetery, but like this cemetery is absolutely gorgeous. It's designed in like traditional Victorian style, and it just has like immaculate lawns and beautiful trees with all the lovely Spanish moss. And there's just like pathways throughout where you can just kind of wander through, and it's really beautiful. And of course, the primary purpose is that it is a cemetery, but often families will go there and picnic because it's just a beautiful place, or people will take strolls on a lovely day. And then there are tours to see the beautiful azaleas and the noteworthy plots and tombstones. So it really is kind of a destination, even if you're not there for a funeral, because it's so beautiful.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I remember it being really pretty, but I also haven't been there since I was 12, so.
It's been a long time. So it was originally created in 1846, and the original name was Evergreen Cemetery. And at the time, it was 70 acres, and it was on the Bonaventure Plantation, which was, it was a private cemetery at that time. And it was necessary to build the cemetery because the existing New Orleans cemeteries were like nearing capacity. And so they just needed a place. They were running out of space to put people. And so it's near the Wilmington River, and it's just a few miles from downtown Savannah.
Wait, you sorry. A second ago you said the New Orleans cemeteries needed space or something. And I was like, wait, what?
Oh, I said New Orleans. Savannah. You knew what I meant.
No, I know. I just wanted to clarify for our listeners, you know.
I don't know why I said that. But yeah, so the local cemeteries were, just to capacity. And then I found this quote, and I thought it was like really interesting because John Muir, who is a writer, and he was an environmentalist, and in San Francisco Bay Area, we have like the John Muir Woods and like all of the beautiful things.
Well, and he's
But
like the father of the national parks. Like
he
he.
is, yeah. So he went there, and it was when he was conducting his 1,000-mile walk. He camped there for 6 days and like slept on the graves and like just enjoyed being in the beauty of Bonaventure. And in his book, he wrote, "Bonaventure is called a graveyard, a town of the dead, but the few graves are powerless in such a depth of life. The rippling of living waters, the song of birds, the joyous confidence of flowers, the calm, undisturbable grandeur of oaks mark this place as of graves as one of the Lord's most favored abodes of life and light." And I was like, wow.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie, that sounds like what you'd see in like a travel brochure. Like it sounds very like it's very flowery, very pretty, like
But I mean, that's how beautiful it is. It's so peaceful. It's just lovely. So anyways, the Evergreen Cemetery was purchased by the city of Savannah in 1907, and that's when it became a public cemetery. And I will say at that time it was still whites only for quite a while. When it was a private cemetery, it was definitely whites only. But it was whites only for a long time, and the cemetery for people of color was just up the road, not too far. But it was definitely segregated. And since the city of Savannah took over the cemetery, it expanded from the 60 to 70 acres to now 103 acres of land. And it's been redesigned by the city of Savannah to provide a greater number of grave sites. And also, they've created ways to more efficiently maintain it to keep it as beautiful as it is. And then in 1992, a retired Savannah school teacher and several of his friends decided to create the Bonaventure Historical Society. And they're the ones that started having volunteers give tours, and like they'll take you around to the noteworthy residents of the cemetery. And then it also focuses on the historical significance of the architecture and landmarks. And the guides wear a costume and immerse you in the history, which I think is awesome. We did not do one of those tours. We kind of went through it ourselves, but I think that's cool. I think that'd be fun to do.
Wait, so they dress in like colonial garb? So they're like the guys in Boston that like dress like beer or whatever. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's kind of cute. I looked through the pictures on the historical website. You know, it's very cute. But before I do get into some of the famous people that are buried in Bonaventure, I do want to repeat again that Bonaventure exploded in popularity when a little book was published in 1994 called Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
A great one.
And so the book is a loose retelling of the actual murder of Danny Lewis Hansford, who is 21 years old. And he was murdered by his lover, Jim Williams, who was a well-respected antiques dealer. And, you know, he was living in the Mercer House at the time, which is another really interesting place.
Or the murder house.
They do call it the Murder House. And you can tour that now as well, which I did when I was there too. And then the movie came out a few years later, and Jim, who is the person who killed his lover, was played by Kevin Spacey, and then Danny was played by Jude Law. And then John Cusack, who I adore, was in it, and he played a reporter named John Kelso. So as I mentioned, the murder actually did happen in Jim's home, which is the Mercer House, and the Mercer House was built for General Hugh Mercer, who is the great grandfather of the musician Johnny Mercer.
Oh, it's cool.
And now, Alana, I know you're a fan of one of Johnny Mercer's songs. He was the author of Moon River.
Oh,
And then he also did like Hooray for Hollywood. But you know, he has like a ton of songs. I think he's a very well-known writer. But anyway, so Johnny Mercer is also buried at Bonaventure.
cool.
So the house that the murder happened is a house of famous people in history and all of the things. I didn't want to get too much into the murder, but I thought it was interesting how things went down. And in the book and movie, you know, they definitely like spell it out in pretty good detail about how Jim kind of made excuses and got away with things, but he did shoot, you know, his lover Danny, after a fight where Danny like tipped over a grandfather clock that was he's an antique dealer, so I don't know who the clock belonged to, but he was very mad about that, and he shot him. But he went back and forth about first, you know, that it was suicide and that Danny shot himself, and then, you know, that, well, it was in self-defense. And so he actually was tried four different times for this murder.
Oh my gosh,
In
wow.
the first trial, he was convicted and sentenced to life in prison, but that was overturned because there were contradictory things in the police report. So they had a second trial where he was convicted again. But the Georgia Supreme Court overturned the conviction because they decided that the sheriff should not have been allowed to testify as an expert witness, and that the prosecutor had held some evidence until the closing arguments, which
Oh.
didn't give the defense a chance to prepare a response.
Well, I mean, isn't that part of discovery? I mean, it makes sense. It's like a technicality, but yeah.
Well, and it totally makes sense. It just sucks because he is guilty, you know?
He is guilty. No, I agree.
And then there was a third trial, and this time it was a mistrial because they were arguing whether or not it was suicide or murder. But the deal is that when they took the body, they did not properly bag Danny's hands, and so his hands weren't actually bagged until he was at the hospital, like in the morgue, and a nurse went and bagged the hands when somebody called her to tell her to do it. But that means that, you know, if the argument was that he shot himself, there should have been gunshot residue on his hands. And because they weren't properly bagged, you know, they couldn't really prove whether or not it was suicide or if he had been shot by Jim.
Right, because if the hands weren't bagged, gunshot residue could come off or something. Like, okay.
And then the fourth trial, it was an acquittal. So, yeah.
Great. Wow.
Yeah. So anyways, but Jim did end up dying of a heart attack just 8 months after being freed. And it is believed that he died in the study where Danny was shot and killed. Now, I love how the movie portrays it, because in the movie, Danny's ghost is there, like where he was killed.
Yeah, I remember
And
that.
you know, yeah, and he like, you know, gets up and he like is looking at Jim's character, and like, you know, very much it feels like either he's witnessing or he's causing this heart attack that Jim's having. And then you know, so to me it feels like the heart attack was revenge, you know. And I, you know, I really liked that, you know, in the movie, you know, they had it to where once Jim's character actually dies and is on the ground and is dead, then, you know, Jude Law, Danny's character, lays down, and then you see him like, you know, kind of smile, and then he goes back to being dead and just like at peace though. So I thought that was a fun way to portray it if you like the idea of ghosty vibes.
You know what? Like, if I was murdered for no fucking reason, I would totally do something like that. Like,
Yeah.
if it was a ghost.
Yeah. And then now I do want to say that the book and movie included several people that were actually living in Savannah, obviously, because it was loosely based on the true story. But they were a big part of the story. And one of the most noteworthy is the Lady Shibley.
RIP to that legend. She's
I know.
incredible.
Yeah, so those of you who do not know her, she was fabulous. She was a transgender performer at Club One in Savannah. Now, at the time, she found the term drag queen to be really hurtful and not true to who she was as a lady. So I am not going to call her a drag queen, but she was a transgender performer. One of the things that she would often say is that she hides her candy. And she even has a book that I think is that title, like, you know, about hiding her candy, which I think is cute. You know, unfortunately, she died of pneumonia in 2016 at the age of 59. But, you know, I will say she was a very bright light and well beloved in Savannah. And when we were there, she was still putting on shows, but, you know, Alana wasn't 21, so we couldn't go.
Wow.
But we walked past Club One and we saw her posters, and then the other thing that I wanted to say is, I mean, she was beloved there, so you know, the book and the movie got it right because it was true. But I loved that, like, you know, the character, you know, like John Cusack's character, who's coming from New York to write about the story, you know, I love that when he met her, he would, you know, at first he thought she was a cis woman. And then when she revealed, no, I'm trans, honey, you know, like, you know, I'm hiding my candy. But he was just like, okay, cool. And there was no judgment, there was no reaction. It was just great. And, you know, he spent time with her and was respectful to her. So I just love that this was a pretty early movie, you know, where something like that was just like not a big deal.
Yeah, like it wasn't the butt of a joke or anything. 'Cause I feel like, you know, you think about like Ace Ventura and other movies like that where it's the butt of a joke and it like wasn't with Lee. Like it was very respectful.
So, but I mean, that was true as to how she was seen in the community, so which I think is very cool. And then the other noteworthy person that I wanted to mention is, in the book and movie, the character's name was Minerva. But Minerva was modeled after a real life voodoo priestess or root doctor, Valerie Fennell Aiken Boyles. And she actually, like, the scenes where she's in the cemetery with Kevin Spacey's character Jim, she actually did do those spells against the DA Spencer Lawton, who is filing the charges against Jim for murder. So she actually
No
did go with Jim to the cemetery and do these spells with him. And it is said that everything in that scene she agreed was word for word what happened and how it all went down. So, you know, if you're curious, I just think that's interesting. But yeah, she was a really, really respected root doctor or voodoo priestess, depending on what you want to call it, during that time. And unfortunately, she has passed now too. But yeah, I thought that was interesting that she felt like everything in the book and movie were accurate to how it went down.
I will say that's interesting. Like, do they think like they did a curse while they were there?
Well, so what they were saying was they were trying to make it to where he wouldn't be convicted. And, you know, he ended up not being convicted, but there is like a hint of, but she knew he was going to get his. And so she knew that, you know, Danny, Jude Law's character, was going to come get him.
Sure.
So, all right. And then there is a moment early in the movie, and the book, where the characters enjoy a martini at Conrad Aiken's grave. Do you remember that scene?
Vaguely.
Yeah. So it's a tradition, you know, and this really is highlighting a Savannah tradition that is a little odd but kind of charming, that lovers of literature often go to Conrad Aiken's grave and have a martini there. And you know, because he's resting there in Bonaventure. So let's bring it back to Bonaventure. I just wanted to share the story of the murder at the Mercer House, because that's what brought such popularity to Bonaventure Cemetery.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so but Conrad Aiken was an American poet and writer who was born in Savannah in 1889, and very tragically, when he was about 11 years old, he witnessed the murder suicide of his mother and father,
Oh my
and
God.
then he moved to Cape Cod to live with relatives and then went to Harvard. Now he went on to write 50 books of novel short stories and essays, and he was very renowned for his poetry. And he even earned a Pulitzer Prize, National Book Award, and National Medal of Literature. And he was appointed Georgia's Poet Laureate in 1973 by Governor Jimmy Carter.
Oh, wow, very cool.
Yeah. So in 62, he moved back to Savannah, and then he moved right next door to his childhood home where his parents were killed, and he lived there until his death. Which I think is interesting that he wanted to be that close to where all of that happened, but maybe that meant he was reclaiming and like not letting it change who he is or where he wants to be. Yeah, but he and his third wife, Mary, are both buried at Ben Bonaventure Cemetery, right next to his parents' plot. And this is the part that I think that you're also gonna love, because instead of doing traditional tombstones, their marker is a granite bench. And so all of their information's on the bench. But it's a bench because during their life together, they would go visit his parents' grave and they would enjoy the martinis and, you know, gaze at the river and the stars and all of the things. And so, yeah, so he wanted his gravesite to be a place where poetry lovers could come sit, enjoy a few drinks in the beautiful cemetery.
Well, I love that.
Yeah. Well, and I was gonna share, you know, because you and I did a mother-daughter retreat one time where the whole theme of the retreat was you gotta find a bench, you just gotta find a place to that you could sit down and connect with each other and, you know, whatever. So anytime I see paintings or I hear things about benches where it's just about connecting, it always makes me think of you and our relationship and that retreat. So I love that his tombstone is a bench.
See, I'm all for like a cool tombstone. Like, I'm not going to be buried, so I won't have one, but like, I do think that's fun.
Yeah, so I really love that. And then there are a couple of other noteworthy like statues or plots in the cemetery that people often you know, like to visit. And one of them is for Corinne Elliott Lawton, and she has what people describe as a sorrowful statue. And she was the daughter of a Confederate Brigadier General Alexander R. Lawton. And the story is, you know, and there's a couple stories, so I'll go through them, but that she, when she was 19, she fell in love with a man that the family didn't approve of. You know, we've heard that a million times. And that she was forced to marry a wealthier man with a better like societal standing or whatever. And she was so despondent about marrying that man that she flung herself into the river and drowned. And then, you know, there are other versions that she killed herself on her wedding day. In another, she rides her horse into the Savannah River. And then another is that she drowned in the river right within sight of where she's currently buried. And so when you see her statue, though, I mean, it really is beautiful. It's very lifelike. And it's like her sitting at the foot of a cross, and her, like she has a dress falling off of one shoulder, and she has a crown of flowers like near her hands. But she looks very sad. She looks very subdued. And so, yeah, I mean, it just seems like, I don't know. Her father said that the next plot over has a statue of Jesus Christ. And so he says it's like smiling on her. But, you know, people say that that adds fuel to the legend that she was like rejecting her family by turning away from Jesus and her father because her back is to Jesus. So there's all kinds of things about the positioning of her statue and all the things. But, you know, according to a diary of her mother, it says that she actually died from illness. And yellow fever was like an epidemic at the time, so that's what people think might have actually happened. But and she was engaged before her death, but yeah, we're not sure if there is anything really tragic about how she died or if it was just an well, it would still be tragic if it's an illness because she was so young.
Of course.
But anyways, that's one of the statues that people really love, and it's very beautiful, but she does look very sad.
It was a really sad story.
Okay, so now I'm going to get into one of the spirits that we see at the Bonaventure.
Okay.
And that is the spirit of little Gracie Watson.
Ooh.
So she's a little girl that died at the age of six of pneumonia. And I know it's so sad. And a statue is carved in her honor and it stands right in front of her gravesite. And a lot of people will like place little things like toys or some coins or little treats for her at the base of the statue. But people who stood close to her grave have reported that they've seen her eyes move or her facial expression change. There is some reports that they've seen her cry tears of blood.
Wow.
Yeah. And then, and people say that about some other statues that they'll see them grimacing or smiling, you know, depending on what's going on. Or they'll hear inexplicable sounds or like a baby crying if it's near an infant's grave or children giggling. And then some people report the sounds of a pack of dogs like barking at them aggressively or snarling, but
What?
nobody's actually seen the dogs, they just hear them.
Is the reason like hellhounds or something? Is that like the lore?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it definitely has that vibe to it. But people also they say that they see sometimes have seen little Gracie just kind of walking through the gardens. She's always in a white dress. They say that she'll be like skipping through the gravestones and then just vanish into thin air. People describe her as like peaceful and pleasant, and like she's not a scary ghost. You know, she's clearly just a little kid with little kid energy. But yeah, she is one of the main ghosts that people see there. And it's very sad that she passed so young, but I'm glad to hear that her spirit seems to be happy and doing well.
Yeah, like I'm glad it's like good energy. Like I'm glad she's not like a s outside of the crying blood tears. It seems like she seems happy.
Yeah. And then you know, the other well-known statue is it's on the cover of the book. And it, you know, it's yeah. And I was gonna say, and at the end of the movie, they show it too. And it features a statue that is named Bird Girl. And they say that for years, nobody really paid it any attention until it made it onto the book cover. And then that brought a lot of popularity, and people came just to see the Bird Girl and to see Little Wendy. And her statue actually sometimes tours museums and galleries around the world.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and so yeah, but the statue is, just a young girl, and she's holding out her hands, and she's got like a bowl in each hand, and so it's a bird feeder, that it captures the rainwater, and some people put bird feed in there, and so it's for the birds. But some people say that the statue is haunted by Lorraine Greenman, who was the girl who posed for the sculpture.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and so this was not like a grave site for her, it just was a statue that was put in there, but people say that they have seen her or they've heard her voice. And so people say that they think that she's there because she enjoys the fame and decided to stick around to give the visitors a little scare by seeing her spirit peeking out.
Well, I support it.
Yeah. So, but my point is going to be, there's not a ton of stories of different spirits, but the two main ones that are there are these two girls, young girls, and but both of their spirits seem really happy and peaceful, and I think that contributes to why this is one of the cemeteries that doesn't really feel spooky or scary. Like it really feels peaceful and beautiful. But there probably is some spirit energy there.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've said this before, I think, but like I always feel like cemeteries would be like the least scary place, 'cause if you're laid to rest, like you would
Yeah.
think that your soul is at rest and like maybe you're having an afterlife, maybe you're around somewhere, but like you're also probably like at peace, right? And
Yeah.
so I kind of love that it is a cemetery and there are some little spirits, but they're not like tragic or,
Yeah.
tragic.
Yeah, no, I just like that there can be a place that, like what you said, where the spirits are at rest or at peace, and that, sometimes it's fun to talk about ghosts that are not scary, but it's just kind of cute. I think if I saw either one of them, I would think it was cute. Now, if the statue's eyes started bleeding, that would freak me out. But I don't think there's a lot of reports of that. I think that's just something that probably some people have said and people repeat it. I don't think that's an often occurrence,
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah. But
That's
if we go back, I would, well, I, we did see the bird girl, and I think we saw Gracie too, but I didn't see the bench and I didn't see, the other one. And so, yeah, it would be nice to see those too, because they really are beautiful. But anytime you're there, I mean, all of the tombstones back then were so impressive, and they were very ornate, and yeah, different kind of style tombs and all the things. So it's definitely worth a see. And if you haven't read the book or seen the movie Midnight in the Garden, Good and Evil, like it's very worth a read or a look, because it's very good story. And then yeah, if you ever want to tour the murder house, the Mercer house, they have tours for that too, and they do say it's haunted. We didn't experience anything when we were there, but it was a very beautiful house and it was worth touring.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to the Mercer House.
That's true. You weren't there. That was just
I don't
online. Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and Savannah in general, I mean, there's a lot of history there. There's, it's one of the most haunted cities in America for a
Yeah.
reason. So there's a
Yeah.
lot to see and a lot to do if you like a ghost tour. So definitely
Yeah.
check Savannah out.
Yeah, I really loved it. Yeah, we did a ghost tour when we were there, and it was super fun. Yeah, lots of different stories. But yeah, I just decided to cover this as like kind of a closing to the spooky season. And like, yeah, I mean, sometimes there are good spooks and cute spooks and like good things.
Yeah, no, definitely. I like it, but
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah. All right.
Well, friends, thanks so much for listening to this episode. Happy spooky season. I maintain it's spooky season till Thanksgiving, and
Okay.
fight me on that.
Yeah. Well, I guess this is going to be released on the 6th, right? So yeah, like
God,
I don't know. To me, I'm not out of spooky season by the 6th. I think it takes me a couple of extra weeks.
yeah, well, and like it you can't go straight from Halloween to Christmas. There needs to be a break. You
Yeah.
need to have like a minute, and I feel
Yeah.
like that's what this is. It's the
Yeah.
minute.
Yeah, maybe that'll be my goal though, is to take down the decorations by next week because I still have my skeletons and witches and all the things up. So
Or you could just keep them up and change them. Like, we have a skeleton in JP who's around for all seasons. He's like the 14 footer, and they just drop him as Santa or as
yeah,
whatever. And I
that's
kind
kind of
of,
fun.
yeah.
Yeah, I think my neighbor across the street would complain because she's a little moody. she's my nosy neighbor that always is peeking out her windows.
Yes, she is. That
Yeah, but she actually complimented my decorations this year, so that was nice.
I mean, no, I think she's very sweet, but she does seem like the type that, like, if there was an HOA, she would complain about your decorations being up
Oh
too
yeah, she
late.
totally would like slip a note through my mail slot and be like, "Girl, it's middle of November."
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyway, friends, thanks so much for listening. If you like our show, you can like, subscribe, rate 5 stars wherever you get your podcasts. We have an Instagram you could follow, which is What the Yale Pod. We also have an email you can, reach out to us on, which is whattheyalepod@gmail.com. And lastly, we have a Patreon, where we do bonus content there, so feel free to check it out. But outside of that, I just want to say I appreciate you, Mama.
Appreciate you too.
And we appreciate you, friends.
Bye.
Bye.